I've got to slow down now. So we're not going to do them all today. Okay. No, we're not going to do them all today. But I hope enough to get you captivated enough so you can come back next week. Except Leah, of course, she'll be flying away. But that's okay. And Linda's flying away tonight to Pommyland. Hey, yeah. So this morning, you know, it's been something that I've really been mulling over for months. And I want to talk about the anointing. I think sometimes in our Christianese, I'm on. It's me, I'm playing with it. Sometimes we really lose focus of what the anointing is all about. And God gives us the recipe of the anointing in the book of Exodus. And really those five fragrances should be evident in everyone's life if you want an anointed lifestyle. Amen. Does anyone want an anointed lifestyle? I think so often in our Christianese, we say, let the anointing, Lord, we need your anointing. But one, John tells me you already have an anointing. Yeah, it's already in you. Amen. In fact, may I be as bold to say this, everything you need for your Christian walk is already locked up inside of you. Amen. It's in you. But what sometimes we do as Christians is we wait for this thing to fall down and just consume us. And so, well, I'm anointed now because I've prayed. I want to tell you the anointing will cost you something. Seriously. If you want to have a lifestyle of an anointed life where you are carriers of anointing, where you'll be able to go into a room and in a house where there's brokenness and anger and resentment and whatever's happening, you can walk in the house and you can deposit something in the house. You can leave your peace there. Well, it's not your peace, it's his peace. His peace there. Amen. You have the capacity to flow in the things of God. He will use you as a conduit to minister and work through. And so often, you know, we even say things like, well, the gifts and the calling of God without repentance. Anyone heard that one before? You remember that in Romans? It does say it. I know it says it. And we say, well, I'm always anointed. Well, no, you're not. You have an anointing within you, but if you're not walking right, it won't flow. If you're in rebellion against God, it won't flow. You and I need these fragrances in our life to live an anointed lifestyle. I shouldn't have to wait to come to a meeting to feel the anointing. I shouldn't have to come to a meeting to experience the anointing in the things of God. I should be able to walk around no matter where I'm at, knowing I am anointed and knowing that he wants to flow through me and in me. But it will take a consecrated lifestyle. And I know that's a big word, but it means you and I are being called to walk in holiness. That is not a popular word for today. Holiness. But you are called to be separated unto the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't afford to live the way the world lives and then shout hallelujah on a Sunday. You can't afford to have a foot in the world and a foot in church and say, well, God will forgive me and God will love me. God will forgive you. God will love you. But if you don't allow the Holy Ghost to challenge you and change you, you will remain as you are. Amen? Moses gives us a typical example of this in the book of Exodus and in Deuteronomy, where he says this. There was an invitation to come up to the mountain. Remember that? The Lord invited him. Then he invited 70 elders. They went halfway up the mountain. But the majority of the people stayed where? At the foot of the mountain. You can settle for the foot of the mountain. Or you can pursue and get to halfway up the mountain. Or you can come to a place where you say, Lord, I want all of what you've got for me. And enter into that higher place with him. Because when you enter that higher place with him, Moses came down, changed. Amen. All of them received the word. All of them heard the word. But not all of them were changed. I don't know about you, but I want to meet my God and be changed. We've all got issues, we've all got faults, we've got stuff that we're dealing with. Amen? But only the Lord can change me. You believe that? Only the Lord can change me. Five ingredients of an anointed life. That's the title of my message. The five ingredients of an anointed life. It says this in Exodus 30, verse 22 to 25. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much as sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, or calamus, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekels of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. A hin of olive oil is roughly around about 12 liters. A hin is a measuring thing. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil. I want to reiterate something this morning. The anointing is not something that we should just be flippant about. It is holy. It is from God. It was the priesthood was anointed. Aaron? No, it says in, I think it's Isaiah, Psalms. It says, and the oil flowed from the head down to the gump, down the body. Amen. So what was on the priest of Aaron flowed down to the generations after him. And the Aaronic priesthood had an anointing to minister to the Lord. Amen. But there's a last Adam who received an anointing, who's our head, and we are his what? We are his body. That same anointing should be flowing from the head down to the body. Who believes that? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within each one of us. There's an anointing that is resident in you and I, but that anointing can become dormant and can become still if you and I do not live a consecrated, holy lifestyle. Amen? Sometimes we see waves of the anointing flow in the house of God. Sometimes we see revival breaking out here and revival breaking out there, usually birthed in prayer, usually birthed out of brokenness, and usually birthed out of desperation. And then we say, well, if we do the same thing as they're doing, if we just sing the same songs and do it, the anointing has a price. Amen? And it says this, hin of oil, and you shall make the holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. An ointment made by the art of the perfumer. I'll give you a quick hint. The perfumer, the one that makes the perfume, is the Holy Ghost. He knows how much to put in. He knows what you need to go through. He knows all the stuff to bring forth a fragrance in you of Christ. To some, you are a fragrance of Christ to life. Is that what the Bible says? To some, you're a fragrance of life, a fragrance of life to Christ, of Christ. To some, to death. But we will have a fragrance. You will show something in your life, in my life. This God's specific recipe for the anointing oil, and the holy anointing oil, for it is God's hand that is upon it. The recipe must be followed. You break the recipe, his hand doesn't come upon it, no longer is it holy. It has to fulfill a certain recipe. It has to fulfill a certain way of making. And God is in the process of making you holy. Making you a vessel of honor to carry something to this broken and dying world. If I just carried myself, everyone would be disappointed. I need to carry the anointing of God. That anointing that breaks yokes. That anointing that can call fire from heaven. That anointing that can change situations in people's homes. That anointing that can heal a marriage. That anointing, that word which is spirit and which is life. Book of John. Is that right? Spirit and life can flow out of your belly like a river. Amen. And bring healing to those who are bruised and sick. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and what? Lay hands on them. But they had to be anointed before they left. Amen. Book of Acts. They were waiting in an upper room, waiting for something to happen. And it says, when the Holy Ghost came, the whole room was filled. They were anointing, and cloven tongues of fire fell upon all of them, 120 of them, all of them, and they spoke a word of the goodness of God. Amen. So God has a recipe for the holy anointing oil to bring forth a fragrance that the Father requires to bring forth in our lives. Who wants this fresh oil? The word, the first thing we have to get a hold of is the thing, the anointing oil was made of five things. We'll go one by one. It's going to take a while, but we need to get a hold of this. Because I'm telling you, you and I, if we want to see a liberty and a freedom in the house of God, not just in the house of God, but in your own house and those who you meet, we need the anointing. I need the anointing. People like Smith Wigglesworth, who could sit in a train, not say a word, and the people in his carriage would come up and say to him, "What must I do to be saved?" Hadn't preached to him. But every 15 minutes he read his word. He carried something. And God is no respecter of persons. The first thing of the Lord deals with in the five spices was myrrh. Myrrh comes from the Arabic word M-U-R-R, myrrh. Its meaning is bitter. It's bitter. It comes from a comephora tree. The trees have to be wounded. They've got to be cut. Purposely cut for this myrrh to come forth out of the tree. It comes forth like in teardrops. It's sticky. It's like a thick, sticky substance which eventually hardens. And they remove that hardened part. And it's like hard little bits, but usually in the form of teardrops. It weeps tears. It's called the weeping tree. It weeps tears. And they harvest it. One of the fragrances, or one of the things that God uses to make the anointing oil, will usually come out of the wounds of your own life. Your own brokenness, your own weeping, your own pain. So many people rebuke what they're going through. But sometimes, just sometimes in the midst of your going through, God is trying to make you something. Amen? Can you hear me this morning? Everyone goes through something. Bad things happen to good people. No one's exempt. Trouble will knock on your door. But what are you going to do about it? I've got to allow the process to come forth. Amen? The gum is like a substance produced in the shape of tears that is then harvested and is hard and tacky. But when it's subject to the pressure of steam, and this is how they refine it, steam is infused into this tacky, hard substance to make the oil. And through the temperature change, through its cleansing, it becomes oil. And the fragrance of bitterness becomes an aroma to God. So your pain and my pain, what I go through, God will adapt that if I allow the pressure and the fire of the Holy Ghost to get in the inward parts of me and change me through my circumstances and situations. And though I might have got hard because of the situation, I might have got abused in that situation, I might have got hurt in that situation, God never wastes a hurt. He didn't cause your hurt. You've got to get that clear. God doesn't hurt you. God loves you. But God never misses an opportunity to bring change to your life. Amen. And He will use that opportunity to bring forth something in you. And He will change it. But I've got to allow the heat of the Holy Ghost to get into my depths of my spirit and bring change to my inner man and yield to Him. Amen. Yielding to Him, and as I yield to Him, there's a change. First of all, usually the change will be your vocabulary, how you speak. Then all of a sudden, the fruitfulness of the Spirit of our God, who resides within the temple of God, starts to bring forth his fruit. And when you are bitter, you're loving. When you are wounded, you're now healed. When you hated, you now love. But it can only happen if I allow the fire and the pressing and conforming to the image he desires me to be in my life. Jesus has left us a pattern to copy. He's the first pattern son. And he wants each one of us to be shaped and formed into a pattern. So the world doesn't see David Welsh, and the world doesn't see Matilda Welsh, and the world doesn't see Noel Blunt. The world doesn't see you individually. It sees the Christ in you, the hope of glory. I am not the hope of glory. You are not the hope of glory. It has to be the Christ in you that is the hope of glory. And if you're born again, everyone I know here is born again, because you're born again, there is a deposit of his life resident in you. You are now called the temple of the Holy Ghost. He lives within you. Do you believe that this morning? So the number one ingredient to living an anointed life is meekness and submission. Meekness and submission. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Can I have an amen? So when I hear someone say to me, specifically men, I can't help it, I just got angry and I shouted at her. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You chose to allow anger to rise up. You chose to speak those words. But if you truly want to walk in the anointing, you will zip the lip. You will go out and you will pray. And you will keep praying. And you will keep praying. And you will keep praying until the washing of the water of the word gets into your spirit and changes you. Your prayer should never be, Lord, change them. Change me. Change me. Amen. For one of the greatest things we can do as a Christian is self-examine. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 tells us that. 2 Peter says that. Examine yourselves. It is one of those things that we should do quite a lot. Quite frequently. Examine yourself. Whether you are still in the faith. It's one of those things that I've got to check to say, what's coming out of my mouth? What am I looking at? Am I righteous, walking righteously? I'm walking uprightly. Am I living holy? I've got an advocate called Jesus, my high priest, that I can quickly go to with any fault or any problem. Say, Lord, sorry. Lord, change me. Lord, I open my heart to change. God, help me to change. Grace me to change. Amen. So Mary is a picture of meekness and submission unto God. So the number one ingredient in living an anointed life is meekness and submission. I'm going to go one step further. If you are not learning or becoming a place where you're submitting to God, you will never submit one to another. In a marriage, if you are not learning to submit to God, you will never submit one to another. My wife is the benefit of the overflow of my intimacy with God. If I did not have the intimacy with God, I would probably be a beast. The beast nature in man is capable of anything. Is this getting too deep for you? Can I go deeper? Every man, there is a beast nature, the carnal man. who is capable of anything. Anything. This beast nature, if I haven't got the mind of Christ on, I'll have what sort of mind? The carnal mind, which is enmity against God, which is in opposition to. This carnal mind will lead me to usurp and allow myself to be the king of my own heart. I become self-righteous. Pride rises up. Three things in one John. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh immediately start to be invoked in my spirit. That's why it's imperative as a Christian to keep a short account with our God and self-examine oneself on a consistent basis. Lord, where am I at? Where am I at with you? You know, having an inner cleansing. Lord, where am I at with you? Lord, have I just come so laxy-daisy in my Christian walk that I'm allowing things just to happen? Has the fire gone out? Have I lost my edge? Do I read my Bible? Do I seek your face? These are the things that we should ask ourselves, because God wants us to be intimate with him. And self will always rob me of the glory of God. In 1 Samuel, Phinehas and Hophni grabbed a hold of the Ark of the Covenant and took it into battle. Remember that? 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 6. Took the Ark into battle. They shouldn't have been nowhere near the Ark. It should have been in the temple of the Lord. But such was their disdain that they thought they had the right to touch what was not theirs to touch. They lost the ark. The Philistines took it. Immediately, they died. Phinehas and Hophni died in battle. Well, we'll give them that much. I reckon they died running away, personally. But they died in battle. A man came from the battle and says, "We've lost. Thousands have died. And your sons, Phinehas and Hophni, are dead." Eli, being a big man, fell off his seat, broke his neck, and died. That's the first time you'll ever read in the Bible where God actually broke a promise. He swore that the lineage of Aaron would be as a priest forever, and Eli's household would be priests. And he relented. Hophni's wife was with child. When she heard her husband had died, she bore down, it says. And she gave birth early. Birthing down caused her to die. She dies. She called the child Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed, because the ark was captured. Ichabod. Glory of the Lord has departed. But the word kabod, K-O-B-D-A-A-D, kabod. It's kabod with a K. Means the glory of the Lord. The only difference to the two words is one letter. I. When I gets in the way, the glory leaves. When I gets in the way, the glory leaves. That's why as Christians, more so today than ever before, we need to be led by the Holy Ghost. We need to know the voice of our God. We need to walk under the anointing and the power of his presence. Amen. Meekness is not weakness. When one has these qualities of meekness, submission, it attracts God's attention to release the anointing. It attracts God's attention. Who understands God's looking to and fro across the earth, waiting, looking for a man, just looking, that would dare stand in righteousness and holiness, that would dare declare by faith that he's their God. He's the same God yesterday, today, and he's still looking. Numbers 12 verse 3 says this. There was a man called Moses who was very meek. We need to look at this man's life. Very meek, more than all the people who are on the face of the earth. As much as Solomon had all the wisdom, Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. But he didn't start like that. Moses did not start like that at all. Moses was a murderer. Moses presumed that Israel would understand that he was going to deliver them. Moses was brash. Moses was a captain in the army. Slaughtered thousands. Moses was brought up in Pharaoh's house thinking he knew it. He had wisdom. Oh yeah, Moses didn't start off well. But most of us don't start off well. How did Moses become so meek? Well, it took him a third of his life. A third of his life. 40 years it took him to learn meekness. 40 years to learn submission. Don't forget, he was the one that was always served. He never had to serve. When he spoke, they did. Amen? He had to go through 40 years in a wilderness, stripped of position and status and all the trimmings of his recognition. In other words, what God was doing is making him a man of no name, of no reputation. And I say that with all humility, because God won't share his glory with another. He doesn't need you to be great. He doesn't need your name in lights. He just needs your availability. 40 years in the wilderness, stripped of position, status, and all the trimmings of recognition. He had to go through 40 years of seeking God for himself. 40 years. Serving sheep. Serving sheep instead of being served in a palace. Serving sheep and becoming content in such things that he had. That's a big one for Christians today. 40 years of serving instead of being served. 40 years of learning submission to his father-in-law until rebellion had gone out of his own heart. Serving another. See, meekness and submission will teach you to serve. 40 years of overcoming bitterness and disappointments, even with the children of Israel, not understanding that he was doing it all for them. Being molded and shaped by God through his frustrations, his trials, until submission and meekness towards the will of God had dominion in his own heart. And that's what God does it for. He wants your heart. He's paid the price for your heart. And only when that all was happening, he's now 80 years old. God's been dealing with him for 40 years. God help us, Lord Jesus. Help me. Help me to bow my knee quick. Only then did he have his burning bush experience. A burning bush. God lights a burning bush on the top of a mountain. The invitation was there. Didn't hear a word. Didn't say, Moses, Moses, come up here. Moses, I've got something. He didn't hear any of that. All he saw was a burning light. And it intrigued him. He gets to the top of the mountain. And God says to him, take off your sandals, for where you're standing is holy ground. Ever wondered why God would say that? He's saying, Moses, take your shoes off and walk in the dirt. Everything contrary to thinking. What he was saying is, will you submit? Will you submit? You can't see this ground holy. You don't know it's holy. You're just believing a word it's holy. just looks like the same dirt as the one you're coming up the hill. But because God called it holy, you want me to take my sandals off. Sometimes God doesn't have to explain why he wants you to do something. What he expects you and I to do is just do. But so often we question what God is requiring of us because it doesn't make this thing called sense. But what God is looking for is humility and submission. So Moses shows to God that he was going to walk through this thing and took off his sandals. He was showing God that even though he didn't understand it, he was going to walk in meekness enough and reveal meekness in his life to take off his shoes. He would be obedient even when he doesn't understand. So in meekness, he removes his shoes in reverence and honor to his God. See, obedience is greater than what? Does God expect you to understand everything he's going to do? No. He just wants you and I to be obedient. Amen? It's in that place of meekness and submission that God announces to Moses after he learned, he said, oh, well, I've got his heart now. He's walking in meekness. He's walking in submission. I've got his heart now. Now I'm going to reveal my plan. Moses, get off to Pharaoh. Go meet your Pharaoh. Go face your fear, Moses. And not just face your fear. Walk in meekness. Walk in submission. Walk under the anointing of your God. So God gives him something for the journey. He gave him a stick. Just a stick. Would anyone like to go against the army with just a stick? Greater faith than me. God shows him he'll be with him. He gives Moses a stick. So in submission and obedience to God, he goes in meekness, he walks in strength under control, which is strength under control, knowing this. This is how you can walk in meekness. This is the crux of the matter, having strength under control, that God will fight your battles. God will fight your battles. Too often Christians try and defend themselves and try and vindicate why they're doing what they're doing. But my Bible says God will vindicate me. I've just got to stand on the truth and stay meek. Not ranting, not raving, not jumping, not yahooing. Loving, staying meek. You got to go through 40 years. Sends the burning bush. Sends them off now to Pharaoh. Moses went on and he learned he's not alone in the midst of it. That's another thing with meekness and having self-control, knowing that your God is with you in your battle. Amen. There was a place near God that Moses got to, the place where he didn't want to move unless God went with him. Lord, I'm not leaving this place unless you go with me. Amen. I'm not leaving. I need God. See, this is what it does. It drives you to lean on God. It brings you to lean upon the Lord. He said to him this, I'm not moving, God, unless you went with me. Such was the power of his submission and obedience that caused us to walk in meekness and become totally reliant upon the Lord. Turn with me to Exodus 33:21. Exodus 33:21. It's up there, actually. And it says this, and the Lord said to Moses, here is the, I want to say this to you, I want to declare this over your life. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. Hallelujah. You shall stand on who? The rock, Christ Jesus. There's a place next to me, but it's at the top of the mountain. It ain't at the base. It ain't halfway. It's at the top. Amen. When God sees meekness and submission, then there's an upward invitation. You can settle and be with the crowd at the bottom of the mountain, or you can be with the elders halfway up, or you can be, you and I can be like Moses and go to the top and experience the place beside. Anyone want to experience a fresh place beside him? Anyone want to experience that fresh anointing beside him? Does anyone want to understand what it means by he will place you and stand you on the rock? So when we're doing, you know, when Ephesians. Doing all to stand therefore. Right? Ephesians. Doing all to stand there. What are you standing on? The rock. Come on now. My feet are planted on the rock, who is the way, the truth, and the life. My feet are planted by the Lord himself on the rock. Therefore, I can stand against whatever's coming against me because I've come to a mountaintop experience, a place near him. He's then put me in the rock. And now I can stand. So no matter what I'm going through, what he's trying to do is to get me to a place of humbling myself, submitting unto him, knowing sometimes I'm going to have to face my fears and my foes and whatever I have to face, knowing he's going to be with me and he never leaves me empty. He'll give me something in my hand. And to others it might seem a stick, irrelevant, hopeless, no good, no different than what anyone else has got, until the stick starts devouring everything they've got. Until God shows off. And God loves showing off in his people's lives. He does suddenlies in the little things. Just in the little things. Does suddenlies that cause you, your faith to be stirred again. And hear me, if your faith isn't getting stirred, stir it up yourself. It says stirring up your most holy faith. You do the stirring. Remember the goodness of your God. Remember the miracles he's already done for you. Remember the path that he's already set for you. Remember he's made way for you and made room for you. Remember the goodness of your God. Amen. Most of us are so quick to remember the negative. So quick to remember what God hasn't done. We think what God hasn't done. But we're not quick to remember what he has done. Hallelujah. You can be with us. I've read that. Second ingredient. And we'll finish on this. There's five. If you want to know about the other three, come back next week. Second ingredient for the anointed life is cinnamon. Cinnamon speaks of uprightness. It's a tree, a cinnamon tree. The best cinnamon in the world is found in Sri Lanka. Dylan, thumbs up. But it grows roughly between 10 and 15 meters tall. It is called the straight tree, because there is very little deviance or twist in it. It just grows up straight. It's called the upright tree. Uprightness. Second ingredient of an anointed knife is uprightness. Not acting bigger, not acting better, or looking down on people. That's the pride of life. But living out a righteous life. Amen. A holy life before the Lord. So what uprightness means is to stand right in the truth. So when we stand upright, the anointing is attracted to our life. Mate, you don't have to look for it. It's already there. What the anointing is looking for is men and women that will walk uprightly, walk humbly, stand meekly before their God. One of the qualifications of priesthood in the Old Testament was a straight or an upright stance. If you had a bowed, bowed, it actually said this, a broken back in one translation, but if you have a bent back or a humpbacked, you couldn't serve in the house of God. You had to be able to stand uprightly. Leviticus 21:20 says this, a hunchback or a dwarf or a man with a defect in his sight or an itching disease or scabs or crushed testicles could not, or a eunuch, could not stand before the Lord and could not minister before the Lord. Amen. God expects his priesthood to walk uprightly. This priesthood is just not any priesthood. This is a royal priesthood. He expects his priesthood to walk uprightly. Amen. God is saying to you and me, it is to stand for truth, be upright in our dealings with people, standing on his righteousness and not our own, standing on the power of his blood, his cross, his resurrection, standing on the righteousness of our Christ, having the power of no. Say this with me, this little word, no. You can say no to sin. I'm going to say that again. You can say no to sin. Can we go a little bit deeper? Sin is a choice. Amen? Sin is a choice. But why I love it, here's the issue for us as Christians. When I love it more than I love God, I'll keep on sinning. Stand in truth. Stand on the power of his blood, his cross, his resurrection. Say the power of no to those things that want to cause you and I to have a crooked back. He expects uprightness in his priesthood. 1 John 2:14 says this, I want you fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning, I write to you, young men, because you are strong. Young men, you are what? Strong. And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. To stand strong and upright is to have a deposit of his word abiding in me. Therefore, if you are not reading your Bible, it will be very hard to stand upright. Amen. And I have to finish it there. Humility. Meekness. Living righteously. Uprightness. Now I'm going to go a little bit deeper before I finish. It doesn't mean living uprightly and righteous just for Christians. All your dealings. All your dealings. So there can never be shame brought to the name of the Lord. More so even to those who are outside the house. Live righteous. Amen. We start getting these fragrances in our lives, it will release an anointing like you've never had before. Too many Christians are trying to live and solve today's battles with yesterday's victories. It is old oil. I'm going to say it's old oil. Here's another one a lot of Christians do. Oh, well, in my day, I remember when. Well, that day's gone. Hallelujah. Amen. Leave it alone. It's finished. And the battles today are totally different. Amen. You need fresh oil for the battle you're facing today. And tomorrow you'll need fresh oil for the battle you're facing today. And that's why it says in the book of Acts, about 4 or 5 times, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They already had the Holy Ghost. He didn't leave them. He never left them. He was still there. But what the writer was saying was this, and they were filled with fresh oil. And they were filled with fresh oil. And they were filled with fresh oil. Amen. Hallelujah. Zechariah 4 verse 5, it says this. It says, and the two pipes sent forth golden oil from the throne. And I know a lot of people think that's the two witnesses in Revelations. I personally don't think it is. Because it says something like this. If you go to the literal translation, it's called Ben Yitzhar, the Hebrew. It literally says this. And these two sons of fresh oil. I don't know about you, but I want to be a son of fresh oil. I want that which is on the head flowing down through the body, that I can be a carrier in this day of the anointing of our God to bring deliverance and healing to a broken and dying world. That He will deposit a word in you of life and spirit. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. You probably heard me say about Ben Yitzhar before. Sons of fresh oil. But I really believe it. See, the pipes had a constant flow. God is looking for men, sons, daughters of the Most High God, having a constant flow of fresh oil. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why your joy can be renewed every morning. Glory to God. That's why His mercies, you can experience His mercies afresh every morning. Because you've got into His presence. You don't want to be at the base. You don't want to be halfway. I want to experience a mountaintop with my God, that He's prepared a place for me. Amen. There's a place for you. Your name is on the rock. Come and stand in the rock. Amen. You want some fresh oil this morning? Anyone want some fresh oil this morning? It doesn't come from heaven. Don't come from heaven. Those who want some fresh oil, my challenge is this. Are you prepared to pay the price? Are you prepared to pay? Are you a candidate for the fresh oil? Say, yes, Lord. Change me. Change me. If you want to see that change, just let's lift up our hands before the Lord if that's you. You can be at the base, you can be midway, but I'm sorry, your pastor wants all of God. I want all of Him. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. God, I surrender afresh. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Help me to examine myself. We're so quick to examine others. Help me to examine me. Renew in me a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart. God, help me. Purify my soul, Holy Spirit. I'm so sorry if I've offended you in any way. I'm sorry. But change me from the inside out. Help me to be that man, that woman you need me to be. I want to infect my children. I want to infect my children's children. Not with my personality and not with my blessing, but life and spirit. That they may see the Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, hear a cry. Change me. Help me, Father. I call upon your grace. And I thank you, my God, your mercies are new every morning. And I thank you when I confess it is as far as the east to the west. I thank you for that. You found a place for me. Give me the strength to continue my climb till I get to my mountain. In the name of Jesus. Amen. He's a good God. Hear me. He's a good God. But the anointing is, a lot of it is dependent upon how I live. Amen. I might hurt someone this morning. I'm sick and tired of hearing this. I feel the anointing. Feel it in. Feel it from within. Give it room in your heart to change you. I'm not coming to church for a fuzz and a buzz. I want God to change me. Amen. Let's get rid of some of this Christianese jargon. Honestly, be real. I'm serious. Be real. Yeah. Be real with people. I remember years ago. Can I finish on this? I remember years ago, my spiritual dad, this man jumped from the stage because he was minister. The group was ministering, and I was near the front. And he jumped off the stage. He goes, "I have a word for you," and he started wanting to lay hands on me. My spiritual dad jumped in front of him. He said, "Don't you touch him." And the guy looked at him. He said, No. He said, "I don't know you. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're doing in life. You don't touch that. No. We'll talk after." The world wants to see genuineness. The world doesn't need flaky Christians. And these genuine, Holy Ghost-filled, empowered Christians with a word in their mouth to set the captive free. Amen? Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee. God bless you. Sorry we only did two of them, but next week we'll do another two. Amen.